I can share the testimony now.
Yeah, I'm coming.
All of you have been with us on this.
Put them on the microphone.
Here, can you do this? That way they can hear.
I'll sit next to you, Dan.
Here, okay, there you go. Here, I'll take all that right here. Because, do you remember last Sunday? Do you remember we were praying over different situations. We were praying over jobs. We were praying over opportunities. When did the call come?
Okay.
Because they may not know, everybody, that a year ago there was an opportunity during COVID that you had kind of thrown your name in the ring, in the hat, so to speak, over on the coast. It's been a dream of theirs to get over to the coast.
Yes, it has.
So there was what looked like a door, like, ooh, we could do this. This is going to work last year. And even to the point where you made an offer on a house.
We did.
And
packed up their house.
And yeah, she starts bringing things over, like decluttering the house and getting pictures off walls. And here, this would be working your place because we're moving. It was that far. I mean, God had said something in your spirit. And then all of a sudden, it's like, they pick somebody else. And you're like, I thought, God, what happened here?
Well, it's God's good timing. Last June, I heard through the grapevine that Point Magoo was looking for somebody to revitalize their operation down there. And that's kind of something I specialize in. And so I reached out to them informally, and they gave me an informal interview. But it was a different management structure at that time. The people that were in power then, with the exception of the person I interviewed with, they're no longer there.
Wow.
And they have a new team of management. Mm-hmm. And a month ago, I was called by the lady that interviewed me, and she said, "Are you still interested?"
We remember you.
And I said, "Yes, very much so." She said, "Okay." She said, "You can't tell anybody, but we're working on bringing you down." The person they had hired apparently didn't work out very well. And I said, "Okay." So I had to keep it to myself. I couldn't even bring it up with our church group, our family here. Then when Danny was talking about jobs a couple weeks ago and this and that, I had to keep my silence. So last Monday, I called Betty and I said, "Betty, I'm just calling for a status. Has there been any updates?" And she goes, "Yes." She said, "The whole management chain wants you, and our division head is going to call your division head Friday." I said, "Wow, you just made my day." She actually called me at home because she couldn't reach me at work. So I said, "Can I have your permission to share this with my division head?" I said, "Not only do I consider him, I don't want him to get blindsided. I consider him not only my boss, but my friend." And she said, "Yeah, go ahead." And so I had that meeting with my boss. He's the one that made me supervisor 2 years ago. And of course, nobody wants to lose anybody. So I explained to him that, hey, they're not pirating me. I'm the one that reached out to them. And he said, "Well," he said, "I won't hold you." He said, "I could." He said,
"They won't block it."
Yeah. He said, "I won't block it, but I have to clear it with my boss." And so doors are opening. I'm going to call tomorrow and find out exactly where it's at. We haven't packed anything.
What I celebrated all this is a year ago it was like, ooh, I'm going for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, door looks closed. And then
Door's open.
And they're like, hey, you know, tap, tap, tap.
I remember you.
You're the guy. And it's like, so be without your involvement, they're stirring and they're, God's creating things. And
God was working it. And I told Angela and Danny and Darla last year that, you know, in God's good timing, that's what this is all about. And we're also in a position to where we're much better off financially than we were at that time.
Come on.
God
Isn't that fun? Yeah, a guy says, well, I'm not ready for you to move there yet. Let me take care of a few things here. And so praise be to God. But again, I still haven't gotten the official word or the green light. But it's a simple reassignment. So that could only take 30 days. And we'll be doing like you guys will be Zooming every week. But if that happens.
So I was telling Don, I said, so Monday and Tuesday this week, I'm getting more data, more feedback from the meetings with the vision heads and stuff. And the very next day after this testimony, remember we prayed about it, mm-hmm. about things like this and openings and opportunities and career solutions. And I run into a man, I'm exercising early morning, it's 4:30 in the morning. And I run into a man I knew walking his dog. He's, you know, Don's age-ish. Mm-hmm. And same kind of, and it's, I haven't seen the guy in a very long time. And so quickly, it's fun how the Holy Spirit just kind of quickens you and reconnects you. And to the point where standing on the corner when it's chilly out and we're both trying to, you know, he's with the dog, I'm exercising, it quickly goes intimate. It quickly, to the point where it's even an emotional encounter between us. And I find out it's very similar to Don trying to, a career, a dream of here's where we're trying to get and nothing's, and seeing no solutions. And I told Don, I said, later that day, I shared your testimony with him. I just said, you know, it's two things happen. One is you tell me out of the blue, and we're celebrating this. Two, I run into this man I haven't seen in a very long time. So I said, let me share the testimony with you, which he was so encouraged by. He shared it with his wife, and he said, it just made me smile. And the word that I had was, I said, I just want you to know to this man, I said, I feel like God's letting you this. You're known, you're treasured, and you're loved.
Absolutely.
And you're known, and you're treasured, and you're loved. Yeah. And so whatever happens,
right,
you're known, you're treasured, and you're loved.
And, yeah, and we're at peace. Whichever way it goes, it's God's will. And it could happen a month, or it may not happen, but it's just amazing how the sequence of events, and it was a total God thing. I had pretty much given up on that, and out of the blue, I get that phone call, and I'm like, wow, thanks, Dad. Mm. That being said, also the operation that I'm running now, I've built up to where it's self-sustaining, and I've got a very strong lead up there, and it's not like I'm walking away and leaving them in a lurch. It's a finely tuned machine. Honestly, I feel like I worked myself out of a job anyway, doing administrative work. So that's a total success, and I can leave at peace knowing that that entity is going to continue and grow.
Right.
We just like plow into this path and just ask for God's blessing, just for the full deposit of heaven to kind of be released in front of decision makers. So managers and leaders that are part of this process, we just invite Holy Spirit into those conversations, phone calls and emails and meetings that are in front of you. Just believing that heaven is released in all of the conversations. Yeah.
And Shelley, I see you there. By the way, from the beach at Point Magoo, right by the machine shop there, we can see the cove where you and Adolf married me and Angela.
Oh, so good.
Come on, that's just fun.
Just before you leave, Don, just short release of prayer and the blessing, because there's just unusual provision, timing, patience. I mean, so much that is involved in that. So just release a blessing for activation on any part or piece in any of our lives.
Any of our lives, yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
And trust in God's good timing. I release this to everybody.
Yeah.
It took years for Angela and I to get married, but it was in God's time.
Come on. So good.
And
yeah.
He is, whether we know it or not, he's actively working in our lives. opening doors.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit is knocking on people's hearts, and I am just in awe of Father God.
Thanks, Amen. God. Amen. Thanks,
yeah.
God. Amen.
So we just, there is a grace for solutions. Mm-hmm. There is, and so it's like Holy Spirit's key. Holy Spirit is key. So just find time for Holy Spirit this week. Create, be intentional to create time with Holy Spirit to speak this week, because there is just a grace for solutions for whatever your need is. There's a grace for solutions.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's peaceful.
When you're not feeling it or seeing it, and not even thinking about it, he is actively working on it.
Right,
come on.
Right.
That's a good word. Anybody else? Anybody got a... thanks, Don. Anybody got a... online people? We were just... What a sweet worship time. But has anybody got a something on your heart? Something you're just sensing right now that you just want to release or share? Or invite prayer for. We just want to give you a pause. I'll let Dee's right next to the iPad so she can help me navigate. But anybody?
We're open. I'm holding mine until the end.
Are you? I'm sitting looking at him. I know he's got like notes. He's like, come on. I know you got a verse.
I have Walmart. I'm before I got here, I already knew I was going to say something.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And it's grown a little bit, so...
Well, I've got a few days ago I had this word, and you know, you get the big pieces and you're like, okay, what's the, you know, how do you like get into it? How do you like, God, what are you wanting to say? And so I had this thought about, not thought, it's like a preface. And now as I've been building up this thing on the preface to it, it's like, I don't think I'm going to get to my nugget till next week, you know, because it's actually an Old Testament thing. It's because of Angel. I've been like, I share a lot on the New Testament. I do. And it's easy to kind of go, in fact, a lot. I pull a lot on in the New Testament. And it's like, okay, why? And it's not that I've forgotten the Old Testament, but I just had some thoughts. Because my nugget's in the Old Testament, so we'll get to it again, I think, next week. But because if you're a reader of the Word and you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, God can look a little bipolar. I'm serious. It's like He does. It's like, wait a sec. This makes sense. He looks angry, or he looks
vindictive. Vindictive.
Yeah, maybe vindictive is a word. Or you see a lot of like battle-ish things going on that have like consequences that look bad. It's like, wait a second, wait. And then you see Jesus, and I'm like, how come that was something like this? And so it's the same God. And so you're left with this, God, what is it where, what am I supposed to get out of this? Because there's so much to learn here. And so let me give you some really big, broad brush strokes. Broad, super high level brushstrokes on Old Testament stuff, because when I open this up and I get like two pages into it, right? So here I am, I'm in Genesis 3. I'm introduced to this this basic nature of sin, the very basic nature of sin, which is here we go. A broken relationship with God.
Questioning God.
Okay. All of a sudden it's like something disconnected me with Him. There we go. Basic nature of sin. A broken relationship. Disconnected. Disconnected in my relationship with Him. Right? I go one more chapter. Now I'm in Genesis 4. And I realize, boy, this basic nature, this sin thing, it gets into my family, right? It permeates family structures, right? So now I'm in 4, and now I hear about Cain and Abel, right? It's like, holy cow, I got a guy taking out his brother. Like, Well, we go just a little bit further in Genesis, a couple more chapters. Now I realize this, not only does this disconnection from God permeate my family, now it's impacting nations. It's pervasive, right? And so much so that we're led to Genesis 6. Look how far we've gotten, six whole chapters, right? And we've got Noah, right? And the flood. And you're like, all because of this, the impact of disconnection. Basic nature of sin, broken relationship, right? Now we're at 6. You're like, okay, are we going to fix this thing, God? Right? So then we get just a couple more chapters, and you're like, okay, this thing hasn't been dealt with. It's recreated. It's reconstituted after the flood. So now we're like, okay, let's organize it. Let's manage it away. And now we're, can we do that? And now we're at Genesis 11, and we're at the Tower of Babel. Like, we haven't gotten very far in the Bible yet, and we're just getting the setup of the impact of this disconnection, right? Mm-hmm. That's in the first 11 chapters, right? It gets into our families, it's pervasive, it impacts nations. And then we try to like, well, let's just try to control it. Let's just try to kind of, can we contain this, manage it, right? And organize it. No, right? Very next chapter, Genesis 12, God says, okay, let's respond to this, right? And we're introduced to Abraham, okay? So God's got, beginning in Genesis 12, God's got this plan of like, how do we deal with the impact of this disconnection? How do we deal with the impact of this broken relationship, right? And here's the quick answer. The only answer is Jesus, right? So God, here's what's happening in the Old Testament. God's going to teach us about his nature. God's going to teach us about his character, right? And what do we know? It never changes, right? But here's the thing that you need to layer on top of the Old Testament. He needs to teach you about your character and nature too. Okay. Remember before I told you there's two very powerful questions that are at the heart of the gospel. If we can get these questions, all of a sudden this starts to make sense. One is who is God? Correctly, appropriately understanding him, right? And that's what Jesus came to show us, because we didn't see him as Father, right? So one is, who is he? And the second one is, who am I in this story, right? So we need to understand that there's this, right? The Old Covenant helps us uncover like the condition of my heart, right? So in the Old Testament, we're introduced to this understanding of this thing called a covenant, right? So when God introduces Abraham in Genesis 12, right, where he enters into this covenant with us. And really, let me just kind of give you the quickie on it, the goals of it. It's like, really, it's to discover sin, but don't get too crazy on it, because really, remember sin, basic nature, disconnection? Mm-hmm. We're discovering that. It's like, help us discover the impact of this broker, this thing called sin, this disconnection. But let's stand against it. Let's condemn it, right? Let's stop it. But really, what we end up doing in this old covenant, which is a covenant of works, is, all right, folks, how do I stop this, right? Right. How do we end up really putting a fence around it? And I'm thought of this. Here's a picture of that. Do you know why? Really, the reason we young parents have playpens. Mm-hmm. Well, you know why we have playpens, right, moms? Darla, why do we have a playpen?
Keep them safe.
Keep them safe, right? It's not prison, right? They do get it. These little ones get in lots of, it's like, so every young parent knows, first thing we do, we're going to take all the valuables or the breakable things, get them out of the way. Get things off tables that are in hands, right? What are we doing? We're making it safe. When we put locks on cupboard cabinets, when we put things in electrical outlets, we're making it safe, right? There's lots that they can do to make. So a playpen is like, okay, mom's in the kitchen cooking, or she's out vacuuming, they're safe here. It's this contained environment that's gonna, they'll be safe and happy and okay, right? So there we go. We put a, that's what the old covenant sort of did with us. It's like, as long as we stay inside these boundaries, you'll be okay. But can you see that we haven't taught ourselves to deal with being safe outside of the boundaries? Outside the fence, we're still fenced in, right? We're like the kid in the playpen, right? So our job as parents is to help the kid get out of the playpen and not hurt himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Old Testament, there you go. So the New Covenant, right? We understand that this, Jesus completed all the thing that the Old Covenant, the works demanded of us, Jesus completed, right? So the goal of the New Covenant was, all of a sudden, I'm introduced to this powerful concept called love and grace and mercy from God, right? And I'm starting to, all of a sudden I see the understanding of repentance and him wiping away the impact of my disconnection, sin, right? The brokenness of sin. I start to learn about, well, I've been living shortchanged. I haven't been living full. And so I learn about the fullness of eternal life and what I how I should be living, what I should be experiencing, right? And the other thing between the old and the new is in the old covenant, God established the priesthood, right? That really, it represented our this access to the Father, right? So it's this controlled kind of, they're the door.
Right.
And then Jesus comes in a new covenant, and we're introduced to this understanding of the priesthood of we're all priests.
Right.
He says, look, this is, you're all invited in. And so all of a sudden we all have access to the holy place, to the holy of holies, right? So in its simplest form, did the new covenant change God's nature? No, right? He has been and always will be the same. But what it did do was it represents, the two Old Testament too, we see the difference in these two covenants is it represents a change of really about how we are relating to him, right?
Right, right.
How are we relating to God? There's no walls, there's no barriers. I'm not fenced in, I'm not put in the playpen, so to speak, right? I'm experiencing freedom and liberty, and it's all defined by grace, right? So, Romans 3:23 says, and we taught on this just last COVID, during being COVID, but what does it really mean when it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Sometimes we look at some of these things and we realize, hey, these aren't condemning verses. These aren't go to hell verses. They're really, they're showing us, hey, you're still believing, you're still walking as if you're disconnected, and there's an impact of that. You're not experiencing the fullness of him, right? Galatians 5:19, you know, tells us, hey, we were so used to building lists to describe sin, right? It said the acts of the flesh are obvious, and we get the whole list about immorality, impurity, debauchery, blah, 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 right? So clearly, we're still not grasping this thing, the basic nature of sin, this disconnect, because it tells us in, you know, it says, hey, if we're walking around thinking we don't have sin, we're lying to ourselves. It's like, God, I don't understand it. How am I supposed to get my head around this, what Jesus came to show me? If the basic nature of sin is disconnection, is a broken relationship with God, how do I walk into this thing that Jesus is trying to show me, right? And I've always told you guys, like, look, Paul makes it clear, you're not sinners. He calls you saints, right? You're not, Jesus says, you're not condemned, right? There, in me, there's no condemnation. It's like, wait a second, God, if I'm so righteous, how come the Holy Spirit keeps convicting of me of my sin, right? I feel guilty, I feel ashamed. And it's like, well, contrary to that belief, Holy Spirit never does that.
Uh-oh.
Not the Bible. The Holy Spirit, any guilt you're having about
wrongdoing, it comes from a condemning voice. Any shame that you're, right, those things, right? God's not releasing a voice that says, and you should feel less than, you should feel guilty, you should feel bad, right? He's always calling you to something greater. He's always calling you up, right? He says there is no condemnation in him. Now, not ever, to those who are in him, right? So how does this work? And this is part of what I've been enjoying this week about the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is key here. Holy Spirit is critical to understanding how do I process this thing about this basic nature of sin. So I'm going to read a verse to you out of the New Testament in John chapter 16. I'm going to first read it out of the New King James Version, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to read it in the Passion in just a little bit, right? 16, verse 8. This is when Jesus before he goes to the cross, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming, right? He's gonna send the Holy Spirit, right? When he goes, he says in verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Right? So I want to break apart that verse because here we go. The Holy Spirit's in action here. Right? Holy Spirit is action. It is in action. And he's going to show us something here, right? Because it tells us there's three things the Holy Spirit's going to respond to. Sin. What is sin? Disconnection, right? Broken relationship with God. Holy Spirit's going to talk to you about that. Holy Spirit's going to talk to you about righteousness. Holy Spirit's going to talk to you about judgment, okay? Holy Spirit's in action here, right? So it tells us that, it says in this verse I just read, right, that Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of sin. Our quick mind, we react to that word convict, and it sounds like off with his head. Don's guilty, cut his head off, right? Don's guilty, go to prison, right? Do you know that there's nothing in that word convict that says that?
What does it say?
Right? So, you know, the word here, convict, it's a word that means to expose something. It means to reveal something. And it's my favorite, it means to convince you of something. So what the word convict is doing, it's saying, hey, here's the facts. And I want you to see in the facts that this is what's true. That's what it means to convict, right? When you think about it in a court, when somebody is convicted of something, what have they done? The lawyer said, or they went before the judge and jury and said, here's the data. We've evaluated the data. We've evaluated all these consequences. You know, here's what's happened. And yep, convicted of whatever. This is what happened, right? So it's just an exposure. It's revealing of the data, right? So what is the Holy Spirit doing with this thing called sin? So look, sin, God says, hey, my kids, hey, my righteous one, right? He has this wonderful description of us. And he says, you're righteous, Darla. And you know what? So what sin does, it says, because you are disconnected from that voice, you're out of relationship with that, sin blocks me from seeing that to be true. So the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do with this thing of sin, right, is convince you, hey, you're still walking in this disconnected belief.
And it says, they don't believe in you.
Because it says, right, of sin, because you do not believe in me.
That we're connected.
right? So the Holy Spirit's number one job isn't to say, I have a list of bad things that define sin. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. Not Holy Spirit's job. Holy Spirit's job is to say, hey, you and Papa are meant to be together. You and Papa are connected. You and Father are connected relationally. You're acting like this. It's blocking you. Sin. That belief is blocking you from seeing that. Right? So the Holy Spirit's job is to show you that, hey, you belong in relationship. So when he's convincing you of sin, he is telling you, hey, by the way, you're not righteous because of anything you've done.
Right.
There's no list that says, okay, I've done all the good things. I get to get on the righteous list. Mm. No, you're not righteous because of anything you've done, right? It's because of everything that
he's done.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
Everything that he's done on the cross, Jesus took all of our disconnection belief, sin. Jesus took all of our sin and he gave us his righteousness, right? So because we're in Christ, we're righteous, right? Number one. So first thing Holy Spirit's doing, what's he doing? First thing, hey, let's reveal this. Let's expose this. This is what sin's doing. It's blocking you from seeing your righteousness. So the second part of the Holy Spirit's job, he tells us in regard to righteousness. He tells us, he says, I'm here to obliterate your unbelief. My job as Holy Spirit is to just help eradicate your unbelief. I want you to stand so firm in his love. He's like, I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and go, you are righteous. Mm-hmm. You are awesome. You are God's son. You are God's favorite, right? Every time he looks at you, he smiles. So the Holy Spirit, his job is that you wake up in the morning, it's like, man, because of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God, right? That's the Holy Spirit's job, right? What's the third thing the Holy Spirit's in action here, right? Because of this thing called sin, he's going to show you this sense of it's blocking you from seeing your righteousness, right? And this thing about judgment, Holy Spirit's here to tell you, hey, you're a little confused about who's going to get his head stomped. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he said, and you are going to help me crush him. The enemy is going to get crushed under your feet.
That's back to Genesis 3.
There we go!
Right.
Come on! Right?
Haven't we always read that, though? Convict and of judgment that we're being judged.
If we, because we're wearing sin. I tell people sometimes the reason we don't understand because we wear sin glasses when we read the Bible. Mm. If you wear a pair of glasses that says, I'm disconnected from him,
right,
you're going to see a very judgmental God. Mm. You're going to see all sorts of bad consequences that it looks like you get thrown in a penalty box a lot, right? And I tell people, put on your Jesus glasses because it's a... You know, he says, it wasn't until I showed up that you didn't know the Father until I revealed it, right? You weren't seeing what grace and love looked like. You didn't understand what it looked like to be out of, with no consequence for these sin things, right? So this third aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to utterly convince you, you're not condemned. Satan is.
Right.
Okay? The clear message from that scripture tells us that Holy Spirit is here to reaffirm on a regular, daily basis is there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? Jesus said this in this section of John. He said, the Holy Spirit would glorify me. That's right. That's Jesus. He said, he's going to guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit's going to take us into all truth. Jesus says, I'm truth. So there's Jesus again.
He says, and the Holy Spirit's going to convince us of our righteousness. Jesus again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Holy Spirit is just highlighting Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Highlighting Jesus. All right? And we're discovering, because Jesus says, and you're in me. Because of what I've taken the cross, you're in me. Right? So what's happened is we've had this, we have had a wrong image of God. Right? So when we read Old Testament, if we're wearing our sin glasses and not Jesus glasses, we end up having this this broken, fallen, distorted image of our Father, right? We didn't see him as Father. We didn't perceive him. We didn't believe him. We didn't embrace him as Father, right? None of that made any. We just didn't see it, right? Until Jesus, right? Jesus came, New Testament. Jesus came to reveal this true nature of God, right? God did not change. His character did not change. His goodness was the same in the Old Testament as it was in the New Testament, right? We interpreted him through a broken lens. We totally misunderstood who he was and who I am in this relationship, right? And so Jesus comes to reveal not only the true nature, but remember the two questions? You're confused about who you are too. So Jesus comes to when he says in John here, just as much as he loves me,
mm-hmm.
he loves you.
Whoa.
Right? So all of a sudden we're starting to oh my goodness, my true identity is as a son who's fully loved and accepted by the Father.
Whoa.
Right? And in that love, we're fully accepted, we're fully included, right? We're fully embraced. Yet we dismiss them completely. By the way, this is why the cross, right? We needed to see that God, there was our fallen imaginations of God, and that was not the God of Jesus. Right? We needed to see our identity as his kids, right? So, because anytime when I say broken, you know, looking at reading scripture through broken glasses or sin glasses, if you come to the conclusion, I'm not worthy, I'm ashamed, I'm guilty, I'm condemned, I'm afraid, I'm rejected, I'm alone, I'm abandoned, I'm orphaned, I'm not blessed, we could keep going on, I'm not rescued, I'm not good enough, I'm a criminal, ultimately I'm a sinner, he doesn't cherish, he doesn't want me, right? So we can, Jesus comes and says, look, here's how I know you're reading with your Jesus glasses, here's how I know your heart's embracing and waking up to, here's how we know that the Holy Spirit, his job of convincing and revealing and exposing has happened, is all those got flipped on their head, and all of a sudden I start describing, wow, I'm learning to appreciate and love my, what he says, you're worthy, he says you're accepted, he says you're good. Paul tells us a lot, he doesn't call you sinners, actually he calls you saints, right? He calls you my loved ones, my cherished ones. He says, you're no longer orphaned. He says, you're my kids. And he uses words, Holy Spirit uses words like Abba, Papa, right? Which is just such an endearing word to describe who we really are. So it's like, so I love how, so the Passion Translation, I just love how it's the, you know, it's the, I see how much he loves me kind of translation. When it reads those same, that same verse, before I read it in King James, says, Holy Spirit here to convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I love how he's, the Passion Translations, for that same set of verses in 8 through 11 says, and when he comes, he will expose this sin thing. And he's going to prove that the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgment. Sin because they refuse to believe that it's in him who I am. And of his righteousness because I'm going back to the Father and he'll see me no longer. And judgment because the ruler of this dark world has already received his sentence. Right? Right? Sin is just... this sin thing is our lost identity. It's our orphan spirit. It's our perceived rejection, right? And his, really, what he's, Jesus said, hey, as you're reading the word, this is a masterful book. That's, I love how the Old Testament sets up. It's like you realize the Old Testament's critical for us because, again, what are we learning? I need to see me. I need to see me. I need to be exposed here, right? And I really need to see him as this amazing father, right? So that's my preface for next week because I want to talk about an Old Testament. I'm actually looking at David and Goliath, a couple of things in David and Goliath, but I couldn't get off my preface, which is, you know, I think it's because I had somebody in my office this week talk to me about angry God stuff, the God who's, you know, it was a politically charged conversation. It was, if God's so good, then how come fill in the blank? You know, whether they're angry about homosexuality, they're angry about, you know, Republicans and fighting Democrats, or they're angry about social justice. There's always an excuse they lay at God's feet. It's like, thinking, well, having a conversation like this with somebody like that is a really hard do because they don't really want to have that conversation. But for you, I wanted you to kind of quickly see that. So I'll stop there, right? Mm-hmm. That's my preface. Give it to me.
Well, I have something new now.
Ah!
But something old. So this is just about what you were just talking
about. Make sure they can you hear it, Angel, okay? Okay.
So this is just about what you talked about now.
Yeah.
And later, after I give some people a chance, then I'm going to tell you something about what... me. Anyway, this is about Jesus.
Yeah.
This is from Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 14, to the end. So it says, inasmuch then as the brethren have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death, I like that, fear of death, were all their lifetime subject bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
There we go.
He's there to help us.
He's there to help us.
And he had to go through everything he did physically to be able to help us because that made the package complete.
Mm. I like that.
And he had to die to make the package complete. And he had to be resurrected to make the package complete.
There you go.
Because he knew that was happening. He says, for the joy set before him,
right.
He endured this stuff.
He endured the cross.
Right, right.
So he already knew what was happening and he had to do this as part of the package that would make him be able to aid us, which somewhere else is that the comfort he gives us, once we get it, then we know how to give comfort to others.
There we go.
We have to follow him to be able to pursue. Anyway, that's...
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
I have more, but I'm a little... But it's not connected to this one.
All right.
Different
idea. Let me check in. Anybody want to... I want to make sure, because... If anybody's got a thought or a reaction, so again, I don't have my glasses on, so you'll have to help me.
Okay,
Bob and Shelly.
So, Karen.
Oh, Karen, Bob and Shelly, any thoughts for the morning? All right. Karen, how about you? Because I'm going to invite...
No, I don't have any thoughts. I'm this morning with a thousand other things at work.
Oh! So
So you got your verses ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Come, you want
to
say?
Let me say one thing just about the verse that you said you started at the beginning. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Oh yeah.
And the focus has my whole life has always been on sinner. And forgetting to see the higher truth of that we were actually created for the glory of God. Like that's God's full intention and what Jesus restored and Holy Spirit reminds us of, that we are made for the glory of God.
Come on, that's a good verse. That's
filled
good.
With it, around us, expressing it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sit up here and share your verse. That way it'll catch easy.
Oh, during worship, I really like the smile on your face.
Oh!
She was smiling so much during.
I was having a good time.
You were. That made it better for me.
Oh, good.
I like to see people enjoy.
Yeah, some of our worship people regularly tell me, Darla, you can't have glory when you're playing the piano. Because I lose my place. I forget what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
I have to walk someplace. Like, no glory.
I don't think it matters. Because, one, I don't know all your songs yet, so I have to look at the paper. And so sometimes I get, put the paper down and just.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, to start this. This might be another sermon, though.
It's time for you to preach again.
It's in my nature, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been retired for, this is my starting my fourth year of retirement, which is a lot of fun. But God, in preparing me for this, started talking to me, and I started, it's like I got a refreshed hearing. I'm having problems hearing real stuff, but I'm having improved hearing God.
Right, right.
There you go.
So, he sent me messages. Sometimes I walk through like the Azusa Pacific bookstore and I start crying. And Becky would say, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "God's telling me something." I'm not sure. So I got a new notebook to write down stuff there.
Okay.
But I'm hearing. I've kind of revived my hearing, or he's revived my hearing, and I hear him more.
Mm.
And sometimes he has to really shake me up. Starting probably a year ago, in February last year, 2020, I had two episodes that sent me to the emergency, and neither of them turned out to be anything, but they looked serious. And so I still have a cardiologist now that checks on me just in case, although there's nothing wrong with me. But since then, I've been hearing messages and things have happened to me, and the Lord has chosen to show me stuff through what's happening to my body.
Mm.
So I'm getting older, but I'm still doing the same kinds of stuff. So God says, okay, I can do this. And so I bruised my knee once running. I did that last April. And it took me until probably August to get it all healed. But God said, I'm not going to heal it. You're going to have to learn how to take care of this. So I took care of it on my own. I did my own kind of therapy and stuff. Then this knee, my left knee, went wacko all by itself. I didn't do anything to it. It just got swollen and stiff, and it was really weird. And for that one, I was talking to my son David, and David said, "Let me pray for your knee." So he prayed for my knee, and it was fine.
Oh, awesome.
And just this last week, I had a pinched nerve in my glutes on the left side, and I don't know how that happened. I was doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of, but my muscle just kind of around the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, don't go to a doctor, just read, and we're going to take care of it together.
Awesome.
And the last thing was I had a floppy foot because it was, and just this last week, I finally got rid of that.
Hey!
Ha!
But I'm listening to what God says. And this morning, I copied my devotion page, and there was one thing that God said in this thing, and then there's some verses. So sometimes the relationship I offer you seems too good to be true. I pour my very life into you, and all you have to do is receive me. Mm. It's just so hard to receive.
Right.
And then we get it in our head that I can do this. I got it. And God says, just let me do this. So some things that he showed me through, I got this one. Don't I? Yes. Sometimes. Ephesians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, yeah, we're getting transformed if we are paying attention. If we're not paying attention, we may not get as transformed as we think we are.
We have to actually behold him.
We have to be paying it. Yeah, we have to. Sometimes it's too good to be true. So we get told all our lives, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's probably a lie. Haven't you heard that?
I've heard preachers say that.
And if it's too good to be true, it probably is not true. But God says, I appear too good to be true, but I'm that good.
It says he's bigger than our imagination.
Yeah, he's really amazing. And then Ephesians 3:17-19. And he came and preached peace. Wait a minute, is that the right verse? Hold on. Yes, it wasn't the right verse. I knew it wasn't the right verse. I wanted 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge or understanding in some
translation. He's bigger than my imagination.
That
verse.
You may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that what God wants to do is be here in without hindrance. And we always put up hindrances. But even in the Old Testament, you find people that knew about the hindrances and overcame the hindrances. Because the old and the new is different, yet there are similarities if you learn how to listen to what God says. So in Psalm 46, if I can get there, I don't think I left the marker in that, but I know it's Psalm 46. And I read
Ephesians 3.
Ephesians 3:17-19 was the first one, or the one before this, but and I had to highlight a lot of it. But I already had one of it. All these verses are things that we know, but we always read the verse by itself, or read this verse by itself, and there's some stuff happening.
Miss the context, yeah.
And so the verse that I'm in Psalm 46. And the focal point for the author here was, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I said, and somehow I said, that's not enough. Mm. And so I went back and I looked at the Psalm some more. And then if you skip through, there are some other things that take place. Because to be still, you have to understand what this guy was going through, some difficult things. It says, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, you don't know that unless you're going through the trouble.
Right.
It says, therefore, we will not fear. Because we talked about fear, there was a fear that gets in the way. Says, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Says, big stuff won't scare me. Earthquakes, shakeups. It says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There is a good place that we need to remember. It says, all this bad stuff, but we have a refuge, and it refers back to where God is. There's a city. There's a place.
God, yeah.
And then verse 11 is brought up in verse 7. It's the same verse. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In the middle of the psalm, at the end of the psalm, same thing. But you don't know, you can't be still unless you are taking refuge. Mm. If you're not taking refuge, you're running amok.
That's a good word.
You're running amok.
Right.
But when you take refuge in, you can sit back and say, whew.
That's safe place.
And then
that's a good word.
You know who God is.
That's a good word.
And that's, you know, I've got tons of things that are happening to me right now with verses. You know, I'm reading. Sometimes it comes through my just daily Bible reading stuff. Sometimes it comes through my devotional thing. Sometimes it's, I read, at night I read the Duck Commander devotional. It is really a very good devotion. It's a little short thing. Every day there's one, and different people write each one. Oh. Members of the family, friends that work at the business. This was from 2013. And I, you know, I got it when it was kind of new, and this is the second or third time I'm reading through it. But there are some amazing things that they say in very simple ways, and I really like. It's like it makes me smile just reading that because I can imagine them saying it. Because I used to watch Dickerman, and we were. We even bought. They have a book that they sold that was about just a story of. I can't think of the name of it, and we bought it on CD so we could listen to it in the car. And last summer we were driving along, and we had one of our grandchildren with us, Logan, Sarah's little boy, and I said, "Do you mind if I listen to this?" And he says, "Okay." And so I plugged in the Duck Commander, and he got really excited. He almost leaned out of his seatbelt in the back to listen to it. And so I bought him the and sent it to him, and he listens to it. He got touched by Duck Command because it was so different from what he had.
So awesome.
We always get stuck in one presentation of Jesus, and he never got stuck.
Good. I like that.
So anyway, that's kind of...
Could you pray for us and close our time?
I will pray for us, and we can close our time.
Yeah.
We got food to eat.
That's true. Okay. Lord, we thank you that you bless us and take care of us.
Thanks, God.
That even when we aren't paying attention, you're still taking care of us. And you sometimes whack us along the head and say, "See, I told you."
Yeah.
And we don't always believe it. But we get stuck in our fears, and we get stuck in our cycles, and we get stuck in... being stuck. And we need to unstick ourselves and keep our eyes on you.
There. Yeah.
We need to open our eyes. And we just thank you that you're going to continue to take care of us. And as we get better at focusing, we'll get better at understanding how well we really are ministered to by you and your Spirit.
Thanks, God.
And we thank you for the food we're going to take part in too. We're going to strengthen our bodies in that way also. We thank you that you make it possible.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.